In the legal world, knowledge is mostly shared through the written word, in briefs and judgments. But true wisdom, that's passed from person to person over time. Welcome to Elephant Echoes, a podcast that provides a platform for Bowman's legal veterans to pass their wisdom to the next generation of lawyers. I'm Bianca Masterton, a knowledge and learning lawyer in Bowman's Johannesburg office. As organizations such as Bowman's grow, evolve, and adapt, there is a risk of institutional knowledge being lost over time. This podcast is inspired by the great elephant herds and their complex and caring social structures. Our most experienced practitioners share their knowledge, skills, and insights as to how to become outstanding lawyers with flourishing practices. In this episode, Richard Harney, our senior partner in Kenya, shares insights from his experience co-founding Coulson Harney, then Bowman's Kenya, and growing it to the powerhouse it is today.
Let me spend a few minutes giving a little introduction or background to how I ended up in Kenya. My background really was living overseas as a young man. My parents were in the diplomatic service. We spent many years in Iran, which is a country I was actually born in. So I always had the foreign element to interest in what I wanted to do with my life. I was educated in the UK. And then once I completed my university, I was really not sure what I was going to do. But a good friend of mine from university came in one day into the coffee bar and said, I've just signed up for a law course in London. Why don't you do the same? And I really hadn't had any ambition to be a lawyer, despite two of my grandparents, my grandfathers, long since predeceased before I was born, but they had both been lawyers, one in Ireland, another one in Australia. So there was a little bit of a legacy there. So I thought, okay, I'll try that. I went to law school in London, and then having got through that, I went to did my articles or training contract at a firm called Simmons & Simmons in the City of London, which I'm sure many of you have heard of. Completed that without great enthusiasm, but saw an advert for a position at a law firm called Clifford Turner. Decided I would take that. Clifford Turner turned into being Clifford Chance just a few months after I joined the firm. So that really is going back in time. In actual fact, I was admitted as an English solicitor on the 1st of April, or April Fool's Day, 1985. So that tells you something perhaps about how well timed my legal career was. I worked at Clifford Chance in London for 4 years, and then did 2 years with them in Paris, in the Paris office. Most of the work I did was in corporate commercial, finance, M&A, what was called Yellow Book and Blue Book, listing public company work and so forth. And it was quite fun, but it really wasn't the world I wanted to dedicate my working career to. So after a few years there, I decided to move on. I went briefly before I moved to Kenya, I went to Baker McKenzie in London. Somebody said that was a good place to go if you wanted to travel. And I did. I worked behind the, in Eastern Europe, I should say, not behind the Iron Curtain quite, but in Eastern Europe, just after the fall of the Berlin Wall, 89, 90, 91, I forget, around about then. I was offered a job in Moscow, but I decided 6 months in winter in Moscow really wasn't for me. So I resigned and moved to Kenya, where I had family connections going back to my childhood. Kenya was quite a different place to what it is now in 1993 when I moved here. And after a year of searching around looking for work, I joined a well-known law firm in Nairobi called Kaplan & Stratton, where I spent 14 pretty happy years, actually. Kenya was a great place to be. It was before the what I call the boom time from the 2000s. We could get off early and go and play hockey, get down to the bar in the evening, and life was much more relaxed and kind of suited me, but it was a little bit slow lane. But I did make great contacts with the business community here in Kenya. Really enjoyed the partners I worked with at Kaplan and Stratton. But I did see, as I mentioned, I did feel that after a few years of doing that, built a good network of clients, good practice, built a reputation, started getting recognized in such lofty chambers, directories as chambers and partners. And you know, as a young lawyer, I know those of you who are still marching out on your careers, these things matter. And when Chambers and Co. started, we all scrambled to get ourselves recognized, and I was lucky enough to do so. During that time, I also forged a very close and wonderful relationship with Philip Coulson. We essentially were neighbors in terms of our offices. We spent a lot of time chatting. Not so sure it was that productive in terms of client work, but we had a lot of fun. And Philip, as you know, is still with us. And I'll come back to talk a bit more about that in a few minutes. As I say, by the time the early 2000s came around, I felt that it was time to move on and do something different. And I tried to persuade my partners in Capital & Stratton that we could do a lot more. I felt business was really opening up. Africa was beginning to happen. Regional players were making a move to establish themselves, both business as clients, but also obviously lawyers too. So I felt it might be the thing to do, but there wasn't much enthusiasm at Capital & Stratton. And it was about that time in 2000, by the time we were here talking 2006-07, I got a call from an old friend of mine who'd worked with me in Paris when I was in Clifford Chance in Paris, a man called Jonathan Lang. And we'd been friends then. He'd moved to a law firm in South Africa who I did know, but not really well, called Bowman Gilfillan. And he told me that he had moved to Cape Town and had been given responsibility to develop Bowman's Africa presence and connections and get around Africa. So Jonathan came up to Nairobi. He always enjoyed a good dinner. We had a lot of good conversations. Jonathan knew how to do business. He'd been, I think, 20 years a partner at Allen & Overy in London and the Far East, so he certainly had a certain style about him. But as he was an old friend, and I confided in him that I wanted to start something new, and he said, well, let's talk about it and let's get together. And we did. I think it was December 2007. We just closed an enormous number of transactions here in Kenya. Things were really, really booming. I was incredibly busy, and we felt that we were ready to go in early 2008. But those of you who know the history of Kenya will remember that Christmas, New Year, and early part of the New Year, 2008, we had a lot of difficulties here in Kenya. There was a disputed election. There was some pretty nasty violence, and everybody held their breath thinking that perhaps Kenya was going to descend into chaos. But fortunately, after a few months and a lot of work by the great Kofi Annan, who was the UN Secretary General at the time, the Kenyan politicians knocked some sense into their heads, and a settlement was reached. Really, within a very short period of time, business started really booming again. So we decided to launch in August 2008. And by this time, I'd persuaded Philip, who'd been a little reluctant to start with, to think about a new venture. But I said to him that I really don't think I could do this without him. And I think the close bond of friendship and connection that we developed, a lot of complementary clients, connections around Kenya, it just seemed like the natural thing for him to come. So I think Jonathan had a role to play in persuading him. So too did Ezra Davids and John Slosberg, who was at the time the senior partner of Bowman Gilfillan. And Philip bravely said, okay, put his hand up, I'm going to join you. And we also spoke to one or two other young lawyers, including Joyce Karanger, who may be on this call, I'm not sure. But she is, of course, a very well-known and senior partner here in our Nairobi office. So Joyce agreed to join us, as did a lady called Angela Wacky. After some pretty frantic negotiations with the team in South Africa and ourselves here in Kenya, we decided to launch. And so we resigned in June or July. August, we were ready to get going with our business. And in the beginning of September, I actually was in London with Jonathan on what's called a door knocking exercise. which wasn't completely new. I'd done a few of those already in my time at Kaplan and Stratton, but this one was rather unique because Jonathan insisted on staying at rather a swanky hotel. But at the same time, it was the week in which Lehman Brothers collapsed and the financial crisis that engulfed the world blew up in everybody's face. So it didn't seem like particularly good timing, I must say, a bit like my April Fool admission as a solicitor in the UK, that we all slightly scratched our heads. But nonetheless, we ploughed on and the firm took hold and grew over the next year or two quite substantially. So I won't go into a lot of detail. I've actually written a paper, a sort of reminiscences, if you'd like, called Kulzunani, The Early Years, which is now in the archives here at in Nairobi. And if you're really keen to read a bit more detail about how the firm was started, please let me know. I'm happy to share it with you. It's not a legally privileged document, so you might find it quite interesting. So let me go a little bit now to talk a bit about the Bowman's Africa as a launch and start and how we got the Africa practice going, because really that I think is what is now defining this firm as being an African law firm. And it was my vision and the vision of Jonathan, John Slosberg, Ezra, and many others at the time who felt that this was going to be the era for African development or growth for reforms, and therefore our clients would want to be doing business and traveling and moving around, investing and so on. So we decided the best way to position ourselves, apart from watching what the competition were doing, which is always something you need to do, we thought we should start on an integrated platform. That is to say, build a law firm group which, so far as possible, could be a single law firm. So far as possible, meaning there are certain restrictions, which I'm sure you're probably aware of, jurisdictional restrictions on who can practice as a lawyer, and not to mention financial issues, exchange control issues, taxation issues, and all sorts of other things. But really, we felt if everybody was going to be working for a common cause, we all needed to be in a single business platform rather than a network or a franchise model, which a lot of our competitors actually have rolled out, and with some success. But I think what we have as Bowman's is far and away the most sophisticated and successful of the platforms that exist. So we opened our office here in Kenya. We followed a year or two later with openings in Uganda, Tanzania. Over the next two or three years, we developed relations, which led to us opening an office in Botswana, Madagascar, and we were looking at other countries, of course, on the backbone, the basic of a HQ in Santam, where a lot of you are sitting now, I'm sure. It seemed to me to make a lot of sense that we would also make friends with law firms in many of the other African countries. There was no way that we could sort of develop a group that had an office in every single important country on the continent. Remember, there are 54 nations, and that would be an awful lot of time and investment and risk. So really focus on the key markets, and that's what we've been doing, and we'll continue to do that. As you know, since then, we've opened offices in Mauritius and Zambia, and our latest office opening is in Namibia. We've also developed what we call alliance relationships with some great people in Ethiopia, and a long-standing alliance arrangement with Udo Adomo in Lagos, Nigeria. So I think we've got the continent fairly well covered, but I'm sure you're going to see over the coming years further moves to deepen our presence across the continent, but also to position ourselves as an African law firm. And one of the things that we've developed over the recent years is what we call the Bowman's Africa Law Firm Conference, which is a get-together of like-minded corporate, commercial, business-focused lawyers from across the continent, or as many countries as we can, bring them together, sit together, get to know one another, talk about the latest topics and so forth. And I think it's really important that we do that. I know some of the international law firms have done this probably for longer than we have. But I think that if we're really going to position ourselves as being a truly African law firm, and we are much more an African law firm than, say, Clifford Chance or Slaughter and May or anybody like that, then we really need to have a really classy set of relationships with all the best lawyers across the continent. So watch this space. Well, one of the critical turning points was in 2014, here in Kenya, we relocated, we moved offices to where we are current premises, because we simply just grew so fast, we ran out of space. In our previous offices, we were running out of space every 6 months because we were growing so fast. If I were to say that in those early years, we were growing at an annual rate of 25% compound per annum, that's say we started with two lawyers, and by the time we moved into 6 years later, 7 years later, we moved in here to our current office. We were at about 70 lawyers and 120 staff. Here in Nairobi, we're now over 100 lawyers and around about 200 staff. So the growth was really phenomenal. In those era, it was a real feel away as we went, working with people in South Africa, Alan Keep, of course, Ezra, Richard Smith, and many others behind the scenes who have helped to develop the group. And I think we've been the testing ground here in Kenya. We learned a heck of a lot about this, how to run a law firm on a group basis. As I said earlier, the complex financial arrangements. I like to think that our friends in South Africa and in other offices, but particularly in South Africa, have learned a lot from us about legal practice on the continent outside of South Africa. So it's been a really great journey. I think made really whole by having a great set of people here in Nairobi, a great office atmosphere, one that is pretty informal, in spite of my tie. We do like to keep our standards up here in Kenya, but nonetheless, I think a sense of humor and fun that we've enjoyed. On the whole, a happy partnership. Obviously, like any business, you know, you have your setbacks. There have been and have been setbacks, not only personal setbacks in terms of partners who have left, but partners who very, very sadly passed on. So it's not all been a plain sailing. In 2014, as I was getting to, we also did a rebrand. And I think that was really important to position the group as a truly African law firm. So every country still has their law firm name because that's local bar rules and so forth and tax rules and what have you. So we're still Coulson Harney in Kenya and so forth in each of the countries, Bowman, Gilfil and Inc. in South Africa. But we adopted Bowman's as a brand name and our new styling and so forth. And I think that really did project Bowman's as a group to our clients, to our ILF friends around the world. And I think it's also helped to bring everybody together. I'm going to talk a little bit about cross-border work, because really the kind of work I've always done in my practice has had a pretty much cross-border international element to it. And, I'll give you a few thoughts about that. Cross-border work, transactions work, what are the key things to look out for? I'm sure a lot of you either have already done this kind of work or are going to. I think really to say that there's no real rocket science in cross-border M&A or cross-border financing or so forth, investments. It's not rocket science. It's not a whole new discipline. But there are some sort of, I think, key stuff that people should really think about. And the most important thing, having worked in London at Clifford Chance and Baker McKenzie, is where you're working in teams. And I think we developed that very much in across Bowman's, is we have teams. We have people who have skills, whether they are in pensions law or employment law or in tax law, regulatory, all sorts of things, competition. I'm sure you're all familiar with all of this. But as an M&A lawyer managing a transaction for a client, a lot of the work you do is actually managing your team and coordinating like a puppet master or a conductor in an orchestra, making sure that all the different team members are getting the work done, providing the report, vetting the work that's been done, and then, of course, negotiating documentation with either lawyers on the other side or taking your clients through the documentation. I think you've got to remember as well that, you know, if you're working on international assignments, you're generally working with very sophisticated clients who have a very strong sense of what they want. So you're working with, you know, finance directors, business development directors. You're working with commercial people from multinationals. You're sometimes working, obviously, with ILFs and law firms from other countries. So you really have to be able to get on with people and handle people correctly, by which I mean not only being efficient and responsive, but also being a good person and gaining their trust and respect. And that is it sounds easy, but it's not always. There are times when negotiations don't go well, or you've got possibly a difficult client who he or she may be under a lot of pressure. So you have to find ways to manage yourself and manage your team to make sure that the client feels that they're getting what they want. The other thing, as I said, I alluded to, of course, is you have to be aware of all the inputs that are needed. So if you're looking at a sale and purchase agreement for a multinational transaction, you need to be talking to your litigation colleagues and understanding what they think is the best dispute resolution mechanism. So it's not automatically national law, could well be an arbitration. Could be something like using English law, which is what we see a lot happening here in Kenya. A lot of people don't want to have their dispute resolution process run in the Kenyan courts and would rather either in the English courts, if there's grounds for doing that, or through an international arbitration process. So you really need to be on top of all of those issues. You need to be alive to tax risk. So you need to have your tax colleague up to speed on the transaction. And then you need to be working around the clock. So there's no simple way of saying it, but you do have to be ready to work late. You do have to be alive to time differences that clients themselves are under. If they're working from the US or you know, different parts of the world. So you have to be flexible and willing to work at weekends and so forth. So it's not a job for the lawyer who wants a soft and easy life, but it is, to my mind, is far and away the most interesting and you know, most challenging and therefore the most fun. I would just perhaps end my few remarks by saying that, you know, my career as a lawyer has been really rewarding. I think less because one gets paid well, and more because of what we've achieved or what I've contributed to achieve here in Kenya and further afield with Bowmans. Now, when I think about the, by now, hundreds of young lawyers who've come to work with us here in Nairobi, many of them are still with us, and I hope you'll stay with us. But a lot have moved on to other careers, gone to work with clients, or moved overseas and so forth. But I think the opportunities we've created for our lawyers and indeed for our wider staff, our business services support staff across the firm, has been the most rewarding feature of my working life. To build the firm and then to see the success that Bowmans is and is going to be in the future is something I'm really, really proud of. Particularly, as I said earlier, I never really thought that you know, I was a career lawyer. I do quite enjoy the intellectual challenge that comes with being a lawyer, doing the research, understanding of the actual law itself. I think the more senior you get probably further and further away from the real, from the law itself, and you're depending on younger partners and younger lawyers to do the research and so on. But I do still quite like, my problem is I like opening a law report or a law book. Paper on the table or in bound in a nice leather cover, which Mr. Coulson and I are very fond of. But sadly, nowadays, everything comes online and you have to read it on a screen. But that's the way the world has gone. And, you know, you have to accept that progress. I think the other thing overall is, I think, contributing to the society here in Kenya, to making so many investments happen, or being a part of the team that makes investments happen, that contributes to the development of the country in many ways. And I guess one of the things that, you know, that's been happening for many, many years for me. And as I said earlier, you know, Kenya has been on a on a real roll of success for many years now, two or three decades. And we hope it continues. But at the moment, I have to say things are a little calmer, a little less optimistic in Kenya. There are all sorts of reasons for that. I'm not going to get into it. But we've seen a number of really well-known, top-quality international clients pulling out of their investment in Kenya, some of them having been here for 100 years or more in the tea sector, for example. And that's really sad. But I guess it's a sign of a changing world. And I think the important thing for us as Bowmans, and I know we're well on the way to that with support of people like Tammy and many others in Centon and people, good people here in Kenya and elsewhere, you know, is to keep on top of, you know, developments in the law, make sure that we are able to provide the best advice on the latest issues, whether it's data protection or fintech, cryptocurrency. Maybe those are the new boom areas of practice, and M&A, at least for the moment, may become a quieter sector. But I hope not for too long, because, as I said a minute ago, it really has been the most stimulating, the most fun, exhausting at times, but rewarding career to have. So I'm going to end there. I hope that gives you an idea. But if you have any comments, if you want to ask any questions, please do so.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you so much. So insightful. I'd really just like to open it to the floor. This is really a unique opportunity. So if any of you have any questions for him, please, you could just come off mute and go ahead.
Hi, it's Kinsani speaking here. I have one question for Richard. Richard, you mentioned that our business model compared to our competitors, so I suppose your international law firms, insofar as Africa is concerned, is quite different or will likely be more successful. I hope I'm not phrasing you incorrectly there. But what is it that makes you say or feel that our model is better suited for success across the continent as compared to, say, like a DLA Piper, for example?
Quite a lot of things I could say in answer to that. But essentially, what we've done at Bowmans over the last decade or more is to invest. And we've invested very heavily in our resources. And we believe that we are there or thereabouts to offer the quality of advice, services, and resources to our clients across the continent that equals that of international law firms. So that's been a huge plan, and I think it's working very well. Behind that, more importantly, in many ways, is in order to get people, in order to make a success of what is effectively a disparate group of people working in different countries, is you have to incentivize them to work together and collaborate and be there for one another. And the only way really to do that is to have a financial incentive, which is that, you know, your client in South Africa, my client in Kenya is your client in South Africa, and your client in South Africa is mine. So we're all sharing on the same platform, and we have the same incentive to work, you know, for the best interests of the client. So it's not a question of I'm holding on to this piece of work and I'm not going to work with anyone else because I want to have the relationship and I want to have the fees and the money and I want the glory and all the rest of it. No, we have a much more horizontal, lateral arrangement where we are all in it together. Our partners agreement is one that allows us to effectively have a financial stake in the entire project. Every single partner has a financial stake in the project. And by aligning people's personal objectives with financial reward, you're actually going to get a much better long-term and sustainable business than if everybody is effectively working in silos and is just looking out for one another, but they are paying, they're using the convenience, if I could be sort of blunt, the convenience of the resource flag of the DLA or ALN or so forth, but they're not actually financially included. So that, I think, is the differentiator. I think that's what's going to make Bowmans the most successful of the African law firms.
Richard, thank you so much again for your time. I truly appreciate it.
Thanks for listening in.
If you would like to get in touch or find out more about Bowmans, please visit bowmanslaw.com.